Well, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to gather and to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, as I deliver your word, I pray that your spirit would lead me today, that those who are here, that they would have a spiritual encounter with you, that they would feel your power, your love, your goodness, and your presence today, Lord. And that we would hear this word, that we would apply it to our lives, and that we would go out that we would share your love with others. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So normally we would be partaking of our communion at this point, but if you do have that and would like to partake with us today, we will be doing that at the end of the message today. So I'll invite you to do it at that time. But for today, I'd like to talk to us about, I think, an important topic that is relevant to each and every one of our lives. And that is living with purpose. This last weekend was pretty busy for a lot of people at FIC, if you were aware. We had our serve at Heron House of Hope, in which we every once in a while have the opportunity to go and to help those who are in need and help bag up food and lunches and breakfast and to give and help serve those who are in need. And as we did that, and then the next, or that same evening, and then the next day, we had our Promise Keepers Men's Conference, in which we, a group of men around, I think we had 11 one day and 8 the next, just a group of men gathered to worship our Lord and our Savior and to talk about the hard topics in life and to think about what it means to be a man and what are we called to do. And I think both serving at Heron House of Hope and being involved in a men's conference, it sparks this question in your life, which is, why am I here? What is my purpose? See, this is an existential question that I think all of us have asked ourselves at some point. And if not, this will be a question that you will ask at some point. See, we look around in our world, in our daily lives, and we see many things that have meaning and purpose. Everyone saw a chair today when they came to walk in, and you knew what the purpose was. You see this microphone, the piano. We know what these things are designed or created for. Unfortunately, when it comes to the human person, this is a harder question for some to answer. But I want to call you to looking to the Word of God today, and I want you to think about these questions of why are you here? What is your purpose? What were you made for? Because I believe that God is not hiding your purpose from you. I think that it is very clear that you have a purpose. And so I'm going to go to God's word today from a few different texts to look at what are we created for. Psalm 139, 14 says this. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. See, God created us in His image. If you are a human being, you are made in the image of the divine. God knit you in your mother's womb. He planned your days before you were born. He knows what you will do with your life. And for each one of you, you were fearfully and wonderfully made by God with a divine purpose. But just because you have a purpose, or even if you find out what your purpose is, you could still neglect your purpose. If you've ever thought of a car, what it was created or designed for, we would understand that a car is meant to be driven. But what happens if you neglect the purpose of a car? See, I've seen a car that has sat for over a year. The tires get flat. Moss and greenery starts to grow on the car. And the engine stops working. That's what it's like for the human to neglect their purpose. Likewise, not only can you neglect your purpose, but you also can misuse your purpose. I believe there are a lot of avid coffee fans in our audience today, and I'm sure many of us, myself included, had it this morning. And with coffee done in a moderate fashion, right? Some of you might need to repent of the not being moderate part, but coffee in a moderate fashion in the mornings to wake yourself up, to enjoy a nice drink, can be a good thing. However, many of you probably are not going to drink a caffeinated big cup of coffee to go to sleep. See, you would be misusing the purpose. And I think there are many of us that sometimes, well, though we might recognize we have purpose, or we might even know what our purpose is, we can neglect it and we can misuse it. So I want to challenge us then to live with purpose today, that we don't neglect or misuse our purpose. And I want to do what I call it to live with purpose, or living with purpose on purpose, that we are intentional with what God has called us to do. So as I said, we're going to look at a couple texts, or a few texts today rather, and see what does the Lord have for us in our purpose. Why did He make us? What are we called to do? Well, the first one is the Lord is calling us to delight yourself in the Lord. This is Psalm 37:4, which Mike read, I believe, the first six verses of this psalm today for our call to worship. But it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. You are called to delight in God. You are called to enjoy the Maker and Creator of the universe. And then it says, He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, some mistakenly think that this means that God is your personal genie. If you go and you go to church every Sunday, if you will say a certain prayer a certain way, then God is just going to give you whatever you want. That you're going to get the best car, the biggest house, the perfect relationship. Some of us might be tempted to take that verse and think that's what it means. But rather, what it means to delight yourself also in the Lord so that He will give you the desires of your heart is this. He says, as you seek the Lord, as you delight in God, your desires will be transformed and conformed to the infinite and the perfect will of God. See, our desires are fulfilled and realized in the Lord. So as you draw closer and closer and closer to God, you become more and more and more fulfilled. And your desires start to gain clarity. You begin to recognize that you do have a purpose. But see, we must not seek God for a particular end. We cannot seek God for these personal gains, for selfish reasons. We are called to seek God, to find God, to enjoy God. Because one of the most primary things that we were created for was this. Our primary purpose is to seek, find, experience, and enjoy the Lord. We have this quote back here that I've referenced before, but it says we were made for God. And our hearts will be restless until we rest in Him. See, God, because of His wonderful, abundant grace, He allows us to find Him, to know Him, and experience Him. Sometimes being a Christian, raised in a Christian home, going to church every Sunday, sometimes this is lost on us. We don't realize how significant this really is. See, God, He didn't have to reveal Himself to us. He doesn't have to make Himself available to us. He didn't have to create you with purpose. But He did it anyway. So we need to then rejoice. We need to rejoice in the God who gives us a purpose, and He then will fulfill that purpose as we continue to delight in Him. And I know for me personally, who is a type A personality, who is prone to like OCD things and likes structure and likes to be a doer and see things get accomplished, one of the most profound things for me is that my God has given me reason. He's giving me significance. He has given me purpose in my life. I know that when I wake up in the morning, when I go and I serve and I delight in the Lord, I know that it's not in vain. I know that there are eternal significance. I know that there is an eternal weight that comes from delighting myself and living for the Lord. See, as a Christian theist, we can say this. However, you cannot have objective purpose without God. Just think about that. This might be challenging for some who normally have a Christian theistic worldview in their mind, and it's hard, but try to just pretend for 1 second God doesn't exist. Think about it. What purpose is there for your life? Think about it. Why were you created? It was by an accident. A cosmic accident of matter somehow, inexplicably, it creates a mind, consciousness. There are animals. There's plants. You just happen to be a more conscious animal. But I can make a personal purpose for my life. I can do some really good things. I can make people happy. I can find a family. I can find some work that I love. Sure, you could give yourself a personal purpose. What happens though in 100 years? Where are you? What about 1,000 years? What purpose did you have? A cosmic accident that lived a life for, 70, 80 years approximately? And then you're gone. What about one day, as many cosmologists believe, the world will not exist? No more humans will be on this planet, if the cosmologists are correct. The great heat death of the universe. You might have thought, well, as long as I did something good in this world, at least I would help generations to come potentially. What happens when those generations are gone? See, without God, the ultimate end is we all die. That's it. In an atheistic worldview, we live, do what you want, you die. So I rejoice because we have a God. We were created with purpose, intentionality. We have meaning. We have a reason for being. So now, Christian, are you taking the time to delight in God? In this busy world, in this, with all of our busy schedules, are you someone who's too busy to take a moment each day to just enjoy God's goodness? I want us to do this. If you all would just close your eyes with me. I want you just to close your eyes. Take a few breaths. Get any distraction out of your head, out of your heart that might be going outside of these four walls of the church. And I just want you to hear and listen to the goodness of God. You have a God who exists. He is infinite in wisdom. He is infinite in power. He is infinite in His love for you. He created the heavens and the earth. In this big universe, He saw fit to create you. And He knew that though you were created for a purpose, that you would stray in some respects. You would fall short of this God's glorious wonder and splendor, His moral perfection. So He sent His perfect Son. God sent Christ. Then Jesus came. He suffered. He died on the cross for your sins. He took your shame. They ripped His clothes off. They spit on Him. They mocked Him, and He died. And it was for you. Then He rose from the dead, solidifying that purpose. And now He offers you a personal relationship with Him. And if you receive Him, this Holy Spirit will reside in you. God is good. God loves you. And He is calling you right now to live for Him with purpose. If you aren't already, open your eyes, please. Do you ever take time like that to just remember how good God is? There are other places that we have been in our lives in which we have seen God's goodness, where we have struggled maybe with sin, temptation, whatever it may be. Take time to delight in the Lord. Refresh your soul, your spirit. Because you were made for Him. In this busy world where we can be so tired and caught up with everything going on, delight. Rest in Him. So that's the first thing that God wants us to do. Delight yourself in the Lord. The second one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, which we are called to live to glorify God. It says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There is nothing in your life that is not meant to glorify God. Do you ever think about that? Every aspect of your life, it's either glorifying or dishonoring God. Your thoughts, your actions, what you do at your job, how you treat your family, your friends, those you don't like. It's either glorifying God or it's dishonoring His name and dishonoring the purpose He has given you. Now, this isn't by our own doing. This isn't that we can just be so good and we can be so godly on our own that I'm just going to go and I'm just going to live for God on my own because I can just glorify Him on my own. That's not what it is. The more you do the first thing, the better you are at the second. The more you take delight in the Lord, the more you will have a heart to glorify Him. Now, what does it mean to glorify God? Well, to glorify God, it means to be in awe of Him, to give Him rightful honor and praise, to recognize who God is. As we did earlier, we were recognizing and delighting in who He is, His character, His goodness, everything about who He is, being the infinite, wonderful God. But as we do that, we continue then, as we have honored Him, we praise Him, we then use that information, we use that knowledge, and we apply it in every context of our lives. So when it comes to living to glorify God, there's kind of a general and a personal level to this. The general is that every human is called to do what Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 says. It says, fear God and keep His commandments. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you know the book of Ecclesiastes, the whole matter is, why are we here? What's the big questions of life? What is this whole thing we call the world and life? Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So in a general sense, we are all called to be in awe, to have a healthy fear of a good, loving God who is powerful. And then we're called to keep His commandments. Are you somebody missing out on your purpose? Are you someone that comes here every Sunday and you hear God's word preached? You hear His commandments and you never take it to heart? Are you somebody that hears God's word, hears His commandments, and the minute you walk out the doors, you disregard them? Or you do them until it's inconvenient for you, until you aren't able to do something that you really want to do? See, to live to glorify God is to fear Him and to keep His commandments. So are you keeping the Lord's commandments? Once again, it's not to merit salvation. It's not to merit His love or approval. He gave that to us on the cross. But we do it because we love Him. You live to glorify God because you love who He is. You love what He has done for you. And that is what we do when we show Him with our actions. So delight in Him, fear Him, keep His commandments because of that love we have for Him. And that is a general call then for every single person here. If you have ears, if you're breathing, that call is for you. But then there's a personal level in which you can find purpose, find meaning in your work and in your calling. But the only way to do that is to continue to walk with the Lord, to continue to live to glorify Him. And as you do that, you will start to realize that God is opening certain doors for you. He's closing others. You'll recognize that God, when He knit you in your mother's womb, when He made you, you'll notice that you have certain gifts, certain abilities. And as you continue to delight in Him and live to glorify Him, you'll start to realize that you have certain things that you are passionate about. In the men's conference, it says to do your work well. And one of the ways that you can find your purpose in your work is to see the results. What results are you wanting to find in your work? As you continue to delight in the Lord, as you continue to live to glorify Him, you will start to see what you are truly passionate about. Because God will reveal that to you. And when you find that, you find purpose. You find real purpose. Not something you have to pretend or make up and just get yourself through the day, because one day, you know, we're all going to die. It's real. There's someone that gives you this objective purpose. So that's the first two. Delight yourself in the Lord. Live to glorify God. And the third and final thing is share the gospel. Mark 16:15 says this. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Christians have been given a crystal clear calling in the Great Commission. Jesus cannot be more clear on what he expects his disciples to do. See, you cannot live to glorify God if you are disregarding the Great Commission. Now, I didn't say God doesn't love you if you aren't sharing the gospel. But He is displeased. He is calling you to live with purpose. And as a Christian, to miss out on the primary mission is to miss out on one of the most fulfilling things when it comes to being a human being. To go and to tell others about the one they were created for. It'd be like seeing your neighbor try to drive his car in the water. Why would you allow someone to continue to go against their purpose? To put themselves in danger, to destroy themselves. Because that's what happens to us when we disregard our purpose. So the more you delight in the Lord, the more you want to share Him. When you take that time that we did a little bit ago, and when we take that and we think about it and we reflect on it and we meditate on how gracious, how loving, how merciful He is, how powerful He is, it makes you want to share that good news that He sent His Son, that Jesus died on the cross, paid our moral fine, that if you repent and believe in Him, you will be saved. See, the gospel should flow through our lives. This is a divine purpose given to us. As we looked last week, Jesus came with purpose. His purpose was to pursue and save the lost. And He gives us that same divine purpose. As a Christian, you are called to follow in His wonderful footsteps. We are called to move as Christ did. We are called to go and share the gospel with the whole world. Even the people you don't like, the people you don't get along with on social media, these people you are called to share the gospel with. You share the gospel with your words, but you also share the gospel with your actions. You can't be a person that preaches grace and doesn't extend grace. You as a Christian, your purpose is to be a person of grace. Because our God is gracious. Many people are failing to come to the church. Many people are rejecting the gospel. And you might think that it's just because they're all rebellious sinners. And there is truth to that. There are people who are rebellious against God and are rejecting His gospel message. But there are many who are rejecting the gospel because we are not living the actual gospel. See, they aren't rejecting Christ. They're rejecting the hypocritical view that we display of Him. See, that is why we need to internalize the gospel in our lives. We need to make sure that we get it crystal clear, that we understand what God did, and we show it to others, because they are going to look at you and see the purpose that you have. And if it's not desirable, they're not going to go for it. But if they see you living with purpose, they see your authenticity, they see your love and your delight in the Lord, and it's going to be very attractive to them. But we have to understand the gospel, and that's why every single week we do our best here in the leadership to make sure that you are hearing the gospel every time, that you can clearly find it in our words, in our preaching. I pray that you will internalize, that you will clearly go out and share the gospel with the world. Because, as we see in our nation and the world, we need revival. But revival does not come from just human action or human merit. Our revival will come from the Lord. And it comes from the gospel. Persons of the gospel. Romans 1:16 reminds us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Do we want to see revival in our communities, in our churches, our families, our nation, our world? Do we want to see this revival? If so, the church really has to get the gospel straight. But when we do that, when we do these three things, this is something you can do every single day. You can take some time to delight in the Lord. You can remember all of your actions are either honoring or dishonoring God. And then you can be intentional with the gospel and know when I go out into the world, there are people who need to hear it. So this is the time that we will partake of communion if you have the elements with you. And what's so good about communion is it summarizes everything that we do here in worship. See, communion, it points you to your purpose. It reminds you that when Christ died on the cross for your sins, and when He rose from the dead, He solidified that what everything that He promised us was true. So that we aren't living in vain or futility. You have purpose, and it's in Christ. You have purpose. So I'm going to say a prayer of thanksgiving over the elements today. And let us rejoice and let us thank God for our purpose that is found in the gospel and found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for the elements of the table. Thank You for Your broken body and Your shed blood that reminds us of that great sacrifice that You made when You were fulfilling Your purpose. But it's a reminder also that You rose from the dead and that You will return, and You will come to find those who have fulfilled the purpose You have given them. We love You. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.